But I don't know, just where I felt led to go. So when we get to it, we'll rehash it when we get there. Maybe we'll get through it faster. By the time I get to Psalm 63, I think I'm on Psalm 4 on Wednesday night. Y'all done forgot all about this, right, by the time we get here. Psalm 63, number one, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the meeting here tonight. Thank you we can gather together. Your people, Lord, and just want to remember those prayer requests, Lord, we just mentioned. Lord, folks need to be lifted up. And Lord, and then we think, Lord, just this year, we lift up the upcoming year before you, Lord. And we pray for your wisdom and guidance, Lord, to help us. Help us, Lord, in this upcoming year to love you more. Lord, to love each other more. And I pray again, as always, to love other people through us this year. Lord, we think about our list of people that are lost. I pray we can fulfill that list, Lord, and witness to them at least, Lord, and maybe some of them will be saved here soon. And we ask that in Jesus' name, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message, Eileen, I didn't get to her in time. We was yakking about this, that, and the other thing, worrying about the football game and all that. Take Time is the title. Take Time, Psalm 63, 1 through 8. You know, as I said this morning and kind of along the same theme of New Year's, you know, as Steve Miller said, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. You remember that song? Those of you old enough, that tells you age right there. I remember being in Sicily when I was in the military, and my first station, I was a firefighter on a naval air station on the base, and there was two bases there, and I was on both of them eventually. But on the one, I remember being in the firehouse at night. We was on 24-hour watch, and we stayed on 24-hour, 8-hour workday. Rest time, you just hanging around waiting on some catastrophe to show up so you could go out and do something. But I remember being in there, I had a cassette tape. If those of you that don't know what that is, see me after the service, I'll show you. Had a cassette tape, Steve Miller, man, time, and that song was on there, you know, time keeps on slipping. And I remember thinking about that. You know, I was walking around and I thought, man, you know, that was in 1978 or 7 or 8. Look how long ago that was, man. And I was thinking then at time, and I thought, what is it going to be like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? I thought about that a couple times while I was overseas. A lot of quiet time there and watches and stuff. I thought, where I'll be in 10 years from now? Man, now look, oh, brother. Time has slipped on to the future, and once again it has, and another year's come and gone, and another year stands before us, and like I said this morning, what's another year going to bring? Well, we don't know. That's why it's good to follow the Lord, like I said. But I had this thought. I was sharing this with Sherry. Some of the devotion books I read, I read about 5-6 devotion books every morning. And a lot of times I get inspired by something, and something really grabbed me by what I read. And one of the things was like this, was talking about this. And I had this thought that, you know, several of us lost loved ones in this past year. And I thought about that as the year comes up, as I think about weird things sometimes. Like, I wonder what month will be my last month on earth if the Lord don't come back, you know. Hope it ain't right before hunting season, Larry, always. What month, what day, what year, what year? I remember telling my Nana, I said, Nana, one time we were watching that movie 2001, The Space Odyssey. And I said, man, you know, I said something to her about, will you be alive, you know, in 2001? She goes, Lord, I hope not. Well, she was. She was still, Lord, at that time. I mean, this was way back. So I think that movie came out like 67, 69, somewhere along in there. But you know what? This coming year is going to be somebody's last year. Maybe not anybody we know. I know you're probably hoping not. But it'll be somebody somewhere, right? It'll be somebody in the county, probably somebody we know. We haven't gone through a year yet that somebody we didn't know didn't pass away, right? And I mean, in the area, it's going to be somebody's last year. Last year was the year, like I said, loved ones, some of y'all's loved ones, Julie, your dad, Sherry's mom, passed away, different ones. Tyler, was your grandpa, wasn't it, passed away. So, I mean, we had some. This year probably will not be any different as it comes up. What if this was your last year? What if it was? Then I probably preached along this line or with that question before. But what would you do? You just knew that somewhere along the way this year, it could be your last year. And it could be. Don't you think your priorities would change on a lot of things? I mean, just some things. Think about the stuff that we worry about that is not really consequential if it came to eternity or the loss of our life. You know, think about that. I mean, already, you know, when you get older, that already happens to you. There's stuff that don't worry me like it used to. Like, I mean, everything, I used to worry about little nitpicking things. You know, like, oh, I can't do this. And then some of that stuff, I don't worry about that as much anymore. Not that I don't worry about anything, but or it's always that way. But it's just some stuff doesn't bother me the same way. And I got a feeling if this was our last year on earth, there would be a whole lot of things. I mean, our chief priority would change drastically. And I just wondered if we thought like this, that maybe our chief priority would go ahead and change now, you know, right now, because we're not promised tomorrow, right? And we don't have a guarantee. If we're healthy and all that, we feel like that we're going to live on just a little bit longer. We feel like that. Every time if I see a car pull up late, you know, this day and time, you got to take, Mike's going to check it out. Just watch it. Might have to. What would we spend our time on? You think about that. What would you spend your time on the most? You think about it. And, you know, the thing about time, I think I said this, I'll share this with you. You know, you can't save time. You can only do two things with time. You can spend it and you can waste it. Those are the only two things. You can't save it. Once it's gone, it's gone. All those years are gone. We couldn't do anything about that. Well, God has given us the answer to what our priorities should be, whether this is our last year or not. I mean, God has given us the priorities in His Word, what our priorities should be, whether it's the very last year that we live on earth or not. Well, y'all are all depressed now, right? I can see it already. I've already got you thinking, man, what if this is my last year? What's he trying to say? He's going to pull a gun out and wipe us all out. No. y'all are looking serious, man. The very first thing, the first point I lean back there is take time to worship. Take time. You know, because like I say, you know, when your priorities change, what happens is you take time to get on that priority. You take time to do that thing right there. Take time to worship. You know, so there's so much more to God's purpose than just our salvation. I mean, it took me a long time to learn this. You know, I mean, when you first get saved, a lot of times this is what happens, just depending on how you get trained or whatever. You know, you get saved, and yippee, you're not going to hell. There's something to shout about right there, right? And then you got a home in heaven, so you know you're going to have eternal life. You know, that's a good thing about that. And boy, it's just such a relief to get saved, and your sins have been forgiven and all that. But sometimes we don't, there's a whole lot more to what God has for us while we're on earth than just that. And there's a lot of people that don't grow really past that point. I mean, I didn't for a long time. I didn't get past that. It was like, woo, man, I got saved, great. You know, that was it. And trying to learn some of the other things. And a lot of people, like I say, they don't get or learn or grow past those facts, and they are facts that those are all true as well. And you know, everything I'm going to tell you tonight, take time to worship. The other points are also going to be involved in that thought, taking time to worship God, taking time. Every other point will. And I want us to think about this as we kind of move into the new year. You know, we always say this every year. I probably said this every year since you know, I've been pastoring it. We had to do a New Year's resolution. That by the end of this, I said this last year, and I don't know if you're there now. You know, you open up those things Brian was talking about, the class, they wrote down things. Is your relationship with God deeper, put it that way, deeper than it was last year, on this day last year? You know, hopefully that will be the case next year. You know, that we should have a growing relationship. All relationships really do need to grow. They do. Husband and wife relationship, friendship. If they don't, they just get stagnant, get stale. All of us probably have this. We all have friends that we were closer with at one time in our life, maybe for one reason or the other, maybe distance and things, that they're not as close as they used to be. And you know, you can't work on a friendship. I talked to my boy I grew up with. We've known each other since we were four. I mean, grew up on the same street. He was at one end, I was at the other. And we used to say we lived on Mean Street. He took care of one end, I took care of the other. But bunch of boys on our road. Yeah. Donald, he's been a pastor now. He's not pastoring right now, but he's a preacher. I got to talk to him twice in the last couple of weeks. We talked on the phone, man. We could talk for hours because we hadn't seen each other a lot since Paul died, one of our other friends, and we got to see each other then. But, kind of work on our relationship just a little bit. Man, we moved away from home together, me and him. We saw the total eclipse of the sun together. We saw the men land on the moon. We were together when they landed on the moon, and we watched them when they walked on the moon. We spent time, you know, all the time together when we were growing up. But that relationship's not the same just because of the time we spend together, don't spend together, and some of that can't be helped. But I want us to think about this. When we think about, and I can think back, and I'm not saying this is not a struggle now either, sometimes. But does it ever seem like that worship and prayer it takes such an effort? You know, it's not like, it's not flowing, worshiping God or even going to prayer. Sometimes it seems like it's like a strain. You know, I got to fit it in here, you know, I need to pray. Let me hurry up and do it. Because I've got to out the door, whatever I got to do, stuff that you got to do. And sometimes just even, I mean, there's times when it's not like that, I understand, but there's a lot of times it's just like, man, it's more of a trudge, if that's a word, a trudge into it, a drudgery versus like the ease that it ought to be. You know, that you ever notice that? Am I the only one that gets that way sometimes? It just feels like sometimes it's like the, you know, it's not the joy, and it's not that we don't enjoy, but it's not the joy and the delight in our lives that God wants it to be. Let me put it that way. Sometimes it's like that. You know, and I know that old devil, that old Satan, man, he's at the bottom of this. He's the one that's making us think that way and feel that way. And I remember when I first got saved, oh man, just going to church, man, getting to the meeting. Oh, man, I'd be sitting around, well, you know, I think I feel just a little bit warm. You know, I'm not 100%. Of course, I went to work the next day. You know, I mean, it was just like, I'm almost looking for a reason why, oh, man, sometimes I just flat out didn't want to go. I mean, why, you know, I know, like I said, the devil was working there. And I don't believe that God wants it to be that way, that, you know, take that effort or even an effort in our mind. And I think one of the reasons is because of our knowledge or our lack. We know too little of the awesomeness of God and the holiness of God and the majesty of God. I think that's just it. Now, you know, the way you know is in the Word, of course, and stuff, you know, and that. But it can't be only intellectual knowledge. It's got to be experiential. Where you feel the presence of God, the power of God. You've got to have that. You've got to have it. And a lot of times if we don't get past our head and get it in our heart, we're still going to struggle with it. We know about that. And I think that is just, seeing God like so big. I mean, it's the smallness of God in our mind that is a hindrance to, if we could just see the holiness of God. I always think to that high priest walking around in the Holy of Holies. Once a year he got to go in there. Man walking in the, you know, there was a tangible presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant was there, and he walked in there. And boy, I mean, the glory of God all around in that room. This was a real thing. Can you imagine he hated coming out? And he couldn't wait till next year. But I'm going to tell you what, he didn't walk on cloud nine the whole year all the way to the next year. Huh? No, man. He got back to the treachery and drudgery of slaying all them animals every day, every year, every sacrifice. He had to do those things right there. And so I thought about that. And then I started thinking about it. When I was a kid, I used to love to do this. And I got a great spot for it now in the wintertime particularly. Is I love to go out and look at the stars in the space, you know, in space. And man, you know, you look, and if you get out in the wintertime on a real clear night, and sometimes when we leave church in the winter and we get home, and if the floodlight, if I can get that off, and we get on the back deck of our house, it kind of blocks any light, what they call light pollution from Roanoke down that way. Man, I'm telling you what, you see the depth, you know, the stars in depth. And sometimes we stand and go, wow, look at that. It's amazing. I used to love to do that. And I've been threatening to get a halfway decent telescope. I know what I want. I know what size I want, so I can look at some of that stuff there. But I was always fascinated with it. And I've really been fascinated over my time with the Hubble telescope. You know, the Hubble telescope, they shot that thing in outer space so it could look out to the stars and things from space and not be polluted by the atmosphere of the Earth. And if you've never done this, and I think I said this one time before at church, Google up the Hubble telescope pictures on your phone. It is unreal. It's unreal what's out there in beyond our eye. But I was trying to think, boy, this is a great thing to give us, to get something tangible, something even, and this isn't close, but it'll give us some kind of idea of the largeness of God. I wrote some things down about the Hubble telescope. It travels 17,500 miles an hour. That's how fast that thing is moving. 17,500 miles an hour. Matter of fact, they said it can't take a picture of the Earth because of where the distance or closeness to Earth is, that the Earth would just be a blur if it tried to take a picture of the Earth. It has to take a picture of something way out there. It circles the Earth in 95 minutes. It can go around the whole Earth in 95 minutes. And I don't know, this is out of date now because a lot of 95 minutes went by. But I was reading something that was pretty up to date. It said it had orbited the Earth over 175,200 times. It's going around the Earth. It's more than that now. The farthest star that it has observed is called Icarus, I-C-A-R-U-S, however you pronounce that. Now listen to this. This is a mind blower. They say that star is 5 billion light years away. That's the farthest that the telescope has farthest star. It has seen galaxies that is 13.5 billion light years away. A star 5 billion light years away. Now listen to this. One light year, and a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. It said one light year is about 6 trillion miles. So one light year is 6 trillion miles. The Hubble telescope has seen 5 billion light years. I think you use multiplication here, right? 5 billion times 6 trillion is, it's a bunch. Yeah, it's a bunch, man. Think about that. 6 trillion, one light year is 6 trillion miles, and this one star that it's seen, and the galaxy was farther than that, the galaxy was 13.5 billion light years away. And that ain't the end of it. That's not the end. And that's in every direction that it could look. And it's still not the end of what God is, who God is, what God has done. I'm going to tell you what, it's big. That's all I can say. It is big. And I was thinking, man, that is just, it blows my mind. Now we try to think of God. It's so limited. You know why? Because we ain't got big brains is our problem. The pea brain is trying to figure out the largeness of God, the bigness of God. It's so small. It's so small. And the holiness of God. Ooh. We're so far off. You know, the prayer that we could pray. Is God help our small conception of you? Help us in that small conception that we have. Why do we think so little of God? Another reason why we think so little of God is we think mostly of ourselves. Most of our thoughts are on ourselves. We think mostly of our needs, our weaknesses, our desires, our prayers. Emphasis on I, our, my, me. But even in our prayers, and what God teaches us, and even in our prayers, and I think David figured this stuff out way back. God must be first. God's got to be all, even when we get down to our prayer. And that's the one thing. I tell you, I prayed with some great men that could pray. Man, we used to have the prayer meeting. Man, we had the prayer meeting here. And Craig, who Stanley thinks his name was Wade, you remember, did y'all ever pray with Craig? Craig was a prayer buddy. I mean, man, wasn't no beating around the bush about hiccups, pimples. Yeah, that's right. Well, he sat anywhere, but we prayed over him. But, yeah, he wasn't worried about the hiccups and the mumps and pimples and all that. Man, I'm going to start talking about getting a hold of God. I prayed me and him alone, me and Brother Alderman. Pastor Alderman used to pastor down at Shenandoah, and I was sitting there and prayed with him. I didn't even want to pray when he got done praying. Huh? I was thinking, man, I got to sound like I know something. I'm telling you, man, I mean, you know, the prayers of people that spend time with God. And, it's you can see a difference when it's God first and not us. All the priorities are different. All the priorities in the prayer are different. And God needs to help us. I'm telling you, in the new year, you know, if this is one area that you want to have help grow in, and I've messed with you guys on Wednesday night, I know I have over time, probably for y'all's time coming, I would get everybody to say, all right, I want somebody, this is what we're going to pray about. I don't want no prayer about nobody sick, no kidneys, no livers, no nothing. I just want you to pray about something or give me a prayer request that has something to do with God that has nothing to do with you. You know what the very first prayer request or thing to be thankful for? Well, I thank God for my salvation. Well, there's my. You're right there in the middle of it. You know, nothing, when we start having to get off of us and onto God, our mind goes blank. We have a hard time with it. And so for this year, you know, man, I mean, getting our prayer life a little different. Old Ron Patterson, I was thinking about him the other day. Saw somebody on a football game or something. His name was Patterson. Boy, I used to go to church with Ron Patterson. Good guy. We used to bowl together, and we had a bowling league. They didn't allow no drinking in the thing. They made up for it with cigarette smoke. Man, my clothes, you had to throw them in a plastic bag when you brought them home because you was nicotine. You could have took my skin, you new smokers. You could have wiped off my skin, just licked it, and that would have satisfied you right there. I had it. I mean, that's just the way it was. But old Ron Patterson, he started to pray. I could move my mouth to exactly what he was going to say. You know, God be merciful unto me. I'm a weak and needy sinner. I mean, he'd say the right things, but it was the same prayer all the time, you know. And we had to get past that. It gets to be routine. You know, to seek God, to find him, to wait in his presence. And here's another thing, to know that God actually listens to our prayer. I mean, man, why say something stupid? Why say something stupid when you're in the presence of God, right? Listen, man, that God actually listens to what we say. And God wants to have fellowship with you. God wants us. God wants us to pray. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. You don't have to sound like a theologian to pray to God. I remember Brother Harold talking about this, and he said he liked to hear this old guy. You know, guy was a new Christian. He didn't know nothing. He'd say, Lord, you know, this is Bill. Like he identifies himself to God. But you know what? Sometimes somebody, the person that don't know, the prayer actually, you know, God honors that. I mean, God honors what's coming from your heart that way right there. And so if we know what God, to help us in our in this thought here about God and our worship with God is to realize that God listens to what we say. He desires fellowship. And that should inspire us when we think about the effort sometimes and the it seems like worship and prayer is hard, you know, to get to. Maybe that'll help you along the way, knowing that God is listening to you right there. Not way off. He's not out there at the other end of the Hubble telescope. He's right there listening to you. And that should make prayer and worship easy. The second thing, right, this year is take time to desire God, desiring God. A lot of people, I think that one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is the satisfaction that everybody has with their walk with God. They're just satisfied with it. They don't want any more. They probably, if they questioned rightly, they wouldn't want any less, but they're not really desiring to go closer, deeper, farther with God. I don't know why that is. Satan's at work again. I don't know whether sometimes it isn't fear. Because, boy, if I go deeper with God, what might he do with me? What might he do with me? I might have to get out of my comfort zone. Something like that. I don't know if that's what it is. The greatest, most glorious, and the chiefest thing that man can find on earth is God. That's it. There's nothing any greater than this. Nothing less than God himself. And it's the greatest, the best, the most glorious thing that a man can and needs to do each day. What's the greatest thing that we can do every day? What's the greatest need that we have every day? Well, not only glorify God, but to fellowship with God. That's what we should do. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't fellowship with God, you can't glorify God. So our greatest need is, and our greatest, the greatest thing you can do each day is to seek to know God, to love God, to praise God, to glorify God. To seek to do that. Have that desire to do that. When you get up first thing in the morning, and you look up and you say, okay, today, man, the first thing I need to do after I turn the coffee pot on is I got to seek God's face, seek God, spend some time in prayer, whatever it takes. The first, by meaning earliest, the first thing, the greatest thing we have to do every day is to seek God, meet God, worship God, live for God for his glory. That's it. There's nothing, you're going to do nothing any greater. I don't care if you're a brain surgeon. I don't care if you find a cure for every disease, sickness, whatever. It's not going to be greater than seeking God. That's going to be the greatest thing. And I'm going to tell you something about that. This is God's desire for us. This is what God wants. This is God's will, God's desire. God will enable you to do it if you desire it. I said that, I think, a few weeks back, preached along this line right here. Listen, you trying to get to God, he will get to you. God knows your heart, man. I mean, those people that wanted to get saved, talked about David Gibbs, and maybe last week, talked about David Gibbs, and talked about that lady that was out in a trailer that my pastor and them went to see when they couldn't find the right place. Man, but what was going on there? It wasn't about David Gibbs and Glendy Hamilton and Pastor Woodard. It was about the person that was seeking to find. God just got his servant to that place. That's it right there. God desires it. God will enable us to do it. Think about this thought, silent adoration. Silent adoration. You know, along with our habit of telling God what we need, in the habit of doing all the talking ourselves, what God has to say to us is infinitely more important than what we have to say to God. What God has to say to us is a lot more important than what we have to say to God. And it's a lesson we have to learn. I think I talked about this the other day. I talked about this morning. We have to learn how to be silent before God. Just to sit and be still. We're just too busy. Satan's going to get your mind. And even then, I mean, I got quiet time. I got time to have quiet time. I get up in the morning, quiet time, and I just sit there with the first cup of coffee, and I don't even read the devotion books right away. I sit there and be quiet. But my mind can get off on a million other things, you know, all over the place. You know, you have to get focused on this thing right there. And then I do get into to read the books that I want to read. And so, but we have to learn that, really, that habit of sitting silently before God. Be still before God. You know, I'm going to tell you what, this is another thing you can't do. You can't worship God in a hurry. Mm-mm. Man, there's a lot of people. I'm going to tell you what, this is the truth. There's people, they even come right here. and they got a set time, brother, and if I'm going to be too long, they gone. They cannot, I mean, it's got to be this time. I got this time for God, this little time slot, and everything's got to fit into it, man. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't worship God that way. What if God got a hold of you? What about those meetings where God poured His Spirit out and nobody wanted to leave? Everybody was still there on their knees and crying. They was out there at midnight, and our brother Harold was talking about a meeting. They went to them, and the pastors looking at each other, what are we going to do? They couldn't even get the meeting ended. It was just a night meeting, kind of like this. I mean, it was a special thing because Harold was a guest speaker. They had somebody come in, but then, you know, it's not the speaker, it's God, right? What if God gets a hold of you? What are you going to do now? Where's your priorities going to be? What if this is your last day on earth? You going to be worried about running home, see about the ham in the oven? Huh? Cut out before the prayer meeting get to the prayer time? I mean, what's going to be more important? Man, you're going to spend time in front of God. We got this time, we try to worship in this hurry, I got to hurry up and get my Bible reading done. I got to hurry up and get my prayer time done. God probably not going to operate in that sphere right there. It's just not going to happen. We need to meditate upon His greatness, His holiness, His power, His love. And in quietness and meditation, our heart is open to receive the impressions of the nearness of God. I said, man, we've got to be quiet before God. In this thought of taking time, we often think maybe that stillness or quietness, and I mentioned people like that today, is a waste of time. And we're not getting anything done. Listen. We don't need to get anything done. God needs to get something done in us. Huh? And then we'll get everything done for God after that. You know, we need that. Listen, fellowship. Sometimes this is what they tell you about counseling. Read books and stuff about it. Being a pastor sometimes comes in handy. And even then, you got to be, you know, sometimes, you know, like if you're a fixer type person, you want to fix everybody's problems. You want to do all the yapping. Sometimes, you know what people really need? They just need to you just need to sit there and listen to them. Let them get it off their chest. I've learned this over time particularly when somebody passes away, because I know I did the same thing. Somebody passes away suddenly, it wasn't expected, or even if it is. They'll tell you the story. They'll tell the story to this person. This is how it happened. This is how it's happened. And I've learned, you know what that did? It's therapy for them. Went over to see Steve, my neighbor, the other day, and he's telling me all about it. And I was thinking, I said, you know, this is helping him. You know, I really didn't need to know all about it. I didn't mind listening to it. But it was therapeutic for him, therapeutic as Barney said, therapeutic for him to say it. And I've seen people, and they'll tell it again. And I remember when my dad, you know, my dad kind of died a weird way, backed over the side of the mountain and all that. And, you know, it's always we could have done, we should have done, why didn't we do it? And we even talked about it today. It's just recently passed, anniversary of that. But it was helpful for us. You know, we talked about it among our own self, and we knew the story. We talked about it. See, sometimes there's more help in just listening. So what we need to do is switch it around, see, and just listen to God. Just let God talk to us. Let Him talk, you know, tell us. It's not that He needs help, but we do. Just needed that quietness to sense His presence. Somebody wrote this. No one is able to influence others for goodness and holiness beyond the amount of God that is in them. Now, I know, you know, technicalities being what they are, somebody's going to say, well, when you get saved, you got all of God. I understand that, but you're not always full of God in the spiritual sense. We're not always full of God. And we can only help somebody up to the point that we're full of God and to help them in a godly way or towards holiness and those type things right there. So see, we need to take time to be silent before God. Can't worship God in a hurry. And I'll get another point on that in just a second. The third thing, take time to be alone with God. Take time to worship, take time. And all these, like I say, every one of these points goes right along with worship itself. Take time to be alone with God. Most of the time, these points only help me in preaching and not really be a good book outline or anything like that. You know, when man fell, when Adam and Eve fell, they fell through the lust of the flesh, right? They saw that the fruit was good, you know, and they lusted after that. And so they fell through the lust of the flesh in the world, and they were brought under the power of visible and earthly things. We're kind of under that. You know, we operate visually with things. We see that. And then in restoration, it means being brought back to God, brought back to the Father's house, brought back to the Father's presence, brought back to the Father's love, and brought back to fellowship. See, God starts taking our, changing our mind, you know, how things work that way. And we need to do that. We've got to be alone with God. I've shared that with you before. We went through prayer. Sherry and I pray together every day. We do. But I tell you, I need to pray by myself, and she does too. And we do that. She'll do it. I'll do it. Usually I'm up first, so I got time right away to do it. I'm pray first. Talk to God. Man, it's not real. You know, it wouldn't sound good in a meeting. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you today. I don't start out like that. I just start out talking to God. You know, just talking to God and telling him some things and telling him how I feel sometimes. Telling him maybe I don't even like how I feel. Maybe I'm thinking wrongly, and I know, and I talk to God about it. I can't help it. Sometimes you can't help how you feel, right? I mean, you may not be feeling right. But if that's how you feel, it's how you feel. It's honest, right? God, this is it. Man, I mean, there's things I don't understand why they go the way they do. I just talk to God. You have to have that time. See, in our time alone with God is when we're transformed by his divine nature and his working in our hearts. It's when God takes possession and fills us in our alone time with God. And boy, this is a good point. I'm going to talk about something in a minute. And, you know, Jesus, when he came and he walked as a man on the earth, how many times in the Bible that you find that he departed from the others, or he separated himself from the company? He went into the garden and prayed. He went to a different place to pray. Now, this is Jesus himself, God in flesh. But he was Jesus the Son. Jesus, the man side of him, needed this time with God the Father to walk on this earth. He had to have it. Now, if he had to have it, we have it. We've got to have it. We've got to have time alone with God, I'm telling you. You've got to spend time, because listen, you're not going to be honest. You're not going to be open. You're not going, you know, with other people, or you won't be as forthcoming. Let me put it that way. Not that you wouldn't be honest. You just won't talk about everything. Jesus needed that. And so I believe us much more needed that. Need to be separated from the distractions, separated from the busyness of the world. Alone with God. The secret to true prayer and power is being alone with God. A face-to-face fellowship. The holiness or filling of the Holy Spirit, abiding peace and joy, doesn't come any other way. Listen, here's one of the mistakes, and I think with a lot of people. You got the time slot, right? Your God time, if you came to Sunday school this morning, your God time was 10 o'clock to 12 whenever we got out today. If you came back tonight, your God time was 6:30 to right now 7:25, hoping it's going to hurry up and be over. That's your God time. And a lot of people are expecting to get whatever they get. Majority of the church members, they're expecting to get whatever they're going to get right here. You're not going to get much. Mm-mm. You don't have alone time with God right here. You're getting to preach another word. That may help you. I hope you get something out of that. Hope that'll help you along the way. Hope it'll inspire you some, sure. But you know what? Our growth time, it's got to be alone time with God, our time with God, outside of this media. What we're supposed to be doing is just the accumulation of what's happened all week. This is a meeting. We're the Christians that have been alone with God, some quiet time with God, in meditation upon God, reading God's Word, in prayer all week about that. We come together as a group, and the worship service here should be the overflow of the worship that has taken place at home, but too often it's not, because there is no overflow. There is no worship of God at home. They look at this as the worship service. It's only a worship service. It's not the worship service. Man, you can worship. Listen, we just found out, right? Listen, you can worship God and never say a thing. It's not just singing. Crying out loud, the way most of us sing. I don't think the Lord thinks much of that. Huh? It's the worship. We could be sitting in stillness listening to God speak to our heart. That's going to be worship. And it is worship. When we have worship at home, when we have that kind of devotion at home, not in a hurry, quiet time with God. I don't care when you got it. Well, I got to get him to go to work. Get up earlier. Get up earlier for God. You know, I can't sleep. I don't know how people sleep late. I can't sleep late no matter what happens. I'm just awake. Get up. All I can get on out there and do it then. We can't get it here. Not that you don't get anything here, but we're not getting the full load here. We got to have it at home. We've got to have it in our own. We've got to have it in our private devotions. We've got to get it there and then let it spill over and our daily experience with God to fill over, flow over, overflow here at the service. And, you know, this is supposed to be an overflow of it, not the sum and substance of everything we have with God. But for too many people it is. That's what it is. Andrew Murray said, "The time will come when we will be amazed at the thought that one could suggest that 5 minutes was enough." Next time, I'll tell you what to do next time you spend time in prayer at home by yourself. Look at the clock before you start. And look at the clock when you get done, and you'll realize how little time you spend in real prayer to God. Minutes. 5 minutes will seem like a long time. One thing about the prayer advance, boy, and a lot of y'all have commented on it. The sweet hour of prayer, huh? Everybody thinking, man, I got to go pray for an hour? What am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? Well, fortunately, Harold gives you a little guide thing, and trust me, you won't get done. You know, you start looking at things, reading a little bit of Scripture and praying. He's teaching you how to pray an hour of prayer. If you've never spent an hour in prayer, the prayer advance will help you with that. You got to go off at Goshen. We used to be out, and every time it was spitting snow and cold, man, we'd be huddled up under a tree somewhere thinking I was going to be froze to death by the time I got done. But got there, prayed with God. Get in the car. I used to get in the van. I was the driver. I drove the van, so I'd go fire the van up and lock the doors, sit in there, man, and pray. And, man, an hour of prayer. Probably the only time I spent a whole hour in prayer every year, once a year, whether we need it or not. Amen. So we have take time to be alone with God. And then the last point is take time to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, for God. Take time to be holy, which means all of us, for God. A lot of the other worship problems that we have, the desire for God or the desire to be the time alone with God, stem from the problem that exists right here, is not being holy, or in other words, let me say it another way, not being, I think it's two L's maybe, not being sold out for God. Not, I think it is, I don't know. Spell checker probably take. I have two in mind. Not being sold out for God. That's it. We're not totally sold out wholly for God. You know, when we think about people in the Bible like Abraham and Moses and Elijah and David, we think, oh man, them guys are great guys. Great guys. They did great things. Well, they weren't. I mean, they were just average guys, but they were wholly, totally dedicated to God. This is what they were. And that's what made them to be or able to do. And God, and really what it was, God did great things, and he worked out his plan through those men because they were sold out wholly to him. Any great work requires someone who is wholly surrendered to it. Now, ladies, you mamas know, and if your husbands were paying attention, you know too. How much time is required, or how much of yourself do you give with the infant child? I remember pictures when people, certain women had children and when they were young, and you couldn't picture them in your mind without them with that hip jutted out like this and the baby sitting on there, huh? I'm a redneck woman, you remember that? I don't take no lip, standing on my front porch with a baby on my hip. You didn't know I knew that country and western stuff, did you? Huh? You know, I could just picture them like this. Baby all the time. And they working with the baby. It's like, you know, they all just get a thing where they grab them by the scruff of the neck. And, you know, they getting the dishes done. They doing this. And the baby, how much... It takes all of your time, doesn't it? You got a recent one. You know, yeah, it's all of your time. You got one, your arms hurting, your back's hurting, you're lugging the baby all around while they're real small and they can't walk yet and you can't leave them alone. You get them down there. If you set them down, where are they? Really close. Huh? Here it is. Here it is right here. How much of our time should be dedicated wholly to God? That much time. That much time where you got God on your hip, you got God on your arm, you got God really close by, God's in everything that you do. There, mamas, you can't go take a shower. You got to drag the baby off in the shower, hope they sleep through the whole thing, get the shower. You got the baby with you when you're cooking. You got the baby with you when you go to the bathroom. And if you try to get away from them a second, they're crying. I mean, there's something, you got to run, drop this, drop that. You can't do anything. You can't plan anything. You can't go anywhere. That everything revolves around what? The baby. That's what God wants. Everything revolving around Him. That's being sold out wholly for God. Surrender. Surrender. It's the only way you can be a good mother. It's the only way you can be a good Christian as well. And the question, should God require less than that? No. Does God give Himself wholly to us? Absolutely. Absolutely, He gives Himself wholly to us. Holy for God, separated from all, and so that nothing would draw us away from Him. Matthew 22:37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." That's total. Your heart, your soul, your mind. That's how we're to love God. Does God accept anything less than that? I don't think He does. I don't think He does. It's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, that we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. The Bible says that. What's the greatest commandment? How you see it? He said, that's what it is. It also results in the greatest blessing. That command results in the greatest blessing. So as we start the new year, you know, let's take time. Put God first and foremost. Spend time with God. This can't be all your time, just here at church. It'd be pitiful. Nobody here, if we only had this much time in a relationship, any human relationship, husband, wife, any other kind of relationship, you wouldn't have much of a relationship. If that's all you saw, no, you wouldn't have it. Spend time with God. Paul, come have an invitation if God spoke to your heart.